you here this morning. Glad you are here. Now, if you would, for just one moment, if you would stand with me. Let me read a very familiar verse to you out of 2 Chronicles. It says this, if my people who are called by my name, who would that be? That's right. That's right. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and heal their land. That's a promise of God. He'll hear from heaven. Tonight, I'm going to spend a few moments talking to you about hope, and then at the end of our service tonight, we're going to do exactly what that says. And we're going to pray, and we're going to ask for healing in our land, and we're going to pray about Herman Baptist Church, your future, several different things that I have listed, and I'll show you them tonight that we're going to pray about. And we have the promise. We have the promise that God will hear. That God will hear. And so I hope you will take a few moments and come tonight and just be a part of just a great prayer time. And maybe I want to spend just a few moments talking to you about hope and maybe inspire you to hope because for your church, you have great days ahead. For our country, I hope we have better days ahead. I love our country so much. So come tonight if you possibly can. Now, you may be seated. Sermon number one's over with. We'll go to 2, 3, and 4 now and have a good time in God's Word. This morning, I want to talk to you about this thing that I'm trying to get rid of. And I've been trying to get rid of it for a good part of my life, and I just can't seem to get rid of it. And this thing that I'm trying to get rid of, it kind of follows me just about everywhere I go. And I've asked it, I've begged it to leave me alone, but it just won't. And even though this thing helps me, it also hurts me. And I've made it clear that I really want nothing to do with it whatsoever, but again, it still follows me. It is relentless, and it is sometimes ruthless. It is sometimes obnoxious. It is sometimes very, very bothersome. It can be noisy and nauseating. It can haunt you. It can hinder you. It can be good. It is often bad. And sometimes you will run from it, and sometimes you will run to it. But it follows you everywhere you go. And what is it? You probably have figured out by now, it's your past. It's what is behind you. And your past is partly what brought you to the point you are in your life today. Your past is partly responsible for who you are. And again, that can be good and that can be bad. But either way, your past has a part in shaping who you are. And for many of us, for a lot of us, our past is great, wonderful memories. For others, our past is too painful to even think about, and so we try not to think about it. Many of us, our past brings about these great stories that we love to tell. over and over again. And can I say, some of you have shared your stories with me, and I absolutely love them. Jesus was a storyteller. If you've ever studied the life of Jesus, he was a master storyteller. So I encourage you, tell your stories, because it encourages other people. And our past brings about great, great stories. But for some of you today, your past, it's so hard. It's so hard that you can't tell a story of your past. You don't want to tell the story of your past. Your idea is that the past is the past, and I want to get past the past, so just leave it alone. As a matter of fact, I'm not real happy about you bringing it up this morning, preacher. I was trying my best just to forget it. And so if you don't mind, take the rest of the sermon and leave it alone. And I can't do that because I planned all week to talk about your past. So we'll have to move on with that this morning. But our past is something that you and I all have. And for some of you, you might look at me and say, well, preacher, your past worse than my past. And I may look at you and say, well, maybe your past is worse than my past. But we all have a past. There's probably a majority of us in here, if not all of us, that we have something in our past that you wish. If there was any way that you could will that part of your past to disappear, to vanish, to be erased, you would do it. And that's why what you have in your hands this morning is good news. It's such good news. As a matter of fact, it goes beyond good news. This is great news. It's great news to us. And we're going to read in Romans chapter 8 this morning. I'm going to be looking at Romans chapter 8 and at Hebrews chapter 6 and Philippians chapter 3. Our starting point this morning is Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read to you verse 1. I wish I had time to go through the whole chapter because it's just a fabulous chapter. It was written by Paul. We've talked a good bit about Paul in the past few weeks, and we've talked about Paul's life B.C., before Christ, and you will remember that Paul's life B.C. was a very wicked life, but things changed in his life, and he would one day, as he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, he would write to them and say, the old me's gone. The old is gone, and I am a new creation. Old things have passed away, and I am new. I think about Paul, and I think about how embarrassed Paul must have been when he would often look back on his past. How ashamed and how humiliated he must have been when he thought about the things that he said and thought about some of the things that he did. Without a doubt, the way he treated people, it bothered him. It bothered him. You can see that in his testimony, especially when he spoke about Stephen. And we all have that problem. And Paul, he faced the problem of his past and how it had followed him. But he was able to find great news in Christ. And he did, and he wrote to us Romans chapter 8. And I want you to look at verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Condemnation, that word condemnation, if you would like to, you could circle that word, and out beside that word, you could write criminal behavior. It meant criminal behavior. And because it was criminal behavior, a judge must pass sentence on the guilty, on those who have criminal behavior, on those who have sinful behavior. The judge must pass sentence. But wait, it says no condemnation, no bad verdict, no adverse sentence, no judgment against. It means no condemnation for Glenn. No condemnation for Glenn. He says, now there's no condemnation for Glenn. Now you see, God's not looking back at my past. God's now looking at my present, at my future. God's not going into my past. God's not bringing up my past. He's looking at me now. And now there's no condemnation for Glenn because Glenn is in Christ. Now there's no condemnation for you if you are in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? Let me explain it to you a couple of ways. It's really fantastic. Right now, you are in church. You could say that you are enclosed by church. You are walled by church. You have four walls surrounding you. You are covered by church. You have a ceiling above you. You are completely surrounded by church. In the same way, you are completely surrounded by Christ. You are covered by Christ. Here's a better way to explain that to you. This morning, I have a sinner in my Bible. I have a sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R, in my Bible. I have it on a little post-it note. A sinner in my Bible. See, I have a sinner in my Bible. I could do that. That would be true too. But what I would rather do with this sinner is I would rather put this sinner in my Bible and close it. Because what do you see now? You see just the Word of God. Because the sinner is enclosed in the Word of God, you don't see the sinner anymore. And now God no longer sees a sinner because I'm in Christ. When God looks at me, He doesn't see sinner. He sees Christ. And so now for me, there's no condemnation because God no longer sees the sinner. God sees His Son, Christ. Let me show you how we got to that point. It's Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. A wonderful, wonderful chapter in the Bible. Hebrews sometimes can be a very difficult book to study, but I encourage you to read it and study it anyway. It has such great news for us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says this, "But now he," talking about Christ, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." You might would like to circle better covenant and better promises. It's two terms that we'll come back to in just a moment. Verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. So if the first one had worked, if the first one was perfect, we would have never had to have another covenant. Because, verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So the question is, what is this new covenant that he is talking about? What is he talking about? Well, let me remind you what was taking place in the old covenant. The old covenant had everything to do with what you were doing. What you were doing to be right with God. It was what you did. Yeah. What you did was God's law. And if you did God's law, if you obeyed God's law, then you would be right with God. But if you don't do the law, if you don't obey the law, then you weren't right with God. He says, that's the old covenant, but now we have a new covenant, and this new covenant is a better covenant, and it's a better covenant because it's based on better promises. What does that mean? Well, in the old covenant, you promised God that you would obey His law. In the new covenant, it's based on what God promises that He would do. And why is that so much better? Because I've discovered, as you probably discovered as you've lived your life, that we as humans, when it comes to us as people, more often than we would like to admit, we're not so good at keeping our word. We are not so good at keeping our promises. Wait a minute, preacher. I never break a promise. You don't? Well, you promised, we promised God that we would not lie, right? Isn't that one of the promises? Isn't that one of the commandments that we would not lie? Now, I could ask how many of you have never lied, but that might cause some of you to lie. And so I won't do it, okay? I don't want to be the cause of some sin. But we promised God that we would not lie, and we broke the promise. We promised God, I'll put you first. I'll put you first in my life. We promised God when He said, you shall have no other gods before me. I promise you, God, I'll have no other gods before you. I promise you, God, you're first in my life. I promise you, God, that I won't put anything in my life before you. Again, we broke that promise. And when we broke that promise, we also lied. We broke two of them in one. We break our promises. Then Jesus comes along with a better covenant. And why is it better? Because it's based on what God promises to do. And God never breaks a promise. God never, ever breaks a promise. And so now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's such a better covenant for those who are in Christ. And because we have this better covenant of no condemnation, then we can now forget our past. We can move past our past. But preacher, I can't just forget my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my past, and you can't just say forget your past. I can't. And I know what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, and I can't just throw that out there for you without a handle to hold on to. So let me give you a handle. It's Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let me see if I can help us understand what I'm talking about this morning when I say forget it. Forget about it. You know, that's not a good accent. I ain't trying to be a... Well, forget it. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Another fantastic verse from Paul. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you're a note taker, you may want to jot down, I forget about it by releasing the past and reaching for the future. I forget about it by releasing the past and reaching for the future. And here's what Paul is trying to teach us and trying to help us understand. You cannot reach for the future. You cannot obtain the future until you release your past. And we cannot release our past while we are standing around wallowing in it. Have you ever gone back to your past in your mind? Have you ever gone back and just relived it? Just gone back and got in that past and just relived it? You know, I did a really dumb thing, and you go back in your mind and you say, I was really messed up, and I said this, and I can't believe I said this, and I did that, and I can't believe that I did that. And you just go over it and over it and over it. Sometimes we do that with an argument. You know what I'm saying? You have this argument with someone, and you say some things that you wish you hadn't have said, and you go back in your mind and you go, I wish I would have handled it this way. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done this. And it's so funny how we go back in our past and we have this conversation with ourselves about the past. And maybe funny wasn't such a good word. Because you can't move forward while you're standing in the past. And so we whine and we complain. We're miserable. And we just spend our life looking behind. And that always leads to disaster. It's kind of like driving. You do understand in your car when you're driving, your rear view mirror is this big, right? It's this big, and your windshield is this big, and there's a reason for that, right? Because you don't want to spend all your time driving looking where you had been. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it's a good idea to check your mirror every now and then and see what's behind you and be aware of what's behind you, because the little blue light comes behind you sometimes and you might need to pull over. But for the most part, you need to be focusing forward when you're driving, because if you spend all your time looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to wreck. You are going to have a wreck. And if you spend all your time in life looking back, you're going to wreck. Your life is just going to be a wreck. It's just going to be a mess. One of my favorite Bible characters, especially Old Testament Bible characters, is Joseph. Maybe the same for you. He just had this incredible life. And if there was ever a candidate in the Bible for 10 years of therapy because of his painful past, it was Joseph. You remember how his life started? His life started off as his father spoiled and pampered him, and his brothers ridiculed and rejected him, and finally hating him so much, they stripped him of his beautiful coat of colors, right? And threw him in a pit and went and sat down and talked about how we can kill him. How we can get rid of our brother. They decided they would not kill him, and so they sold him as a slave, and he was taken to Egypt. Now that would really mess your mind up. If you face that in life, that could really mess your mind up. That kind of thing, that would play with a person's mind. And you know how that is, how a bad family situation can really mess with your mind, can really just play havoc in your mind. Well, of course, that wasn't the end of the story for Joseph. He made it to Egypt, and remember, they put him to work, and Joseph, I mean, he got right into it, and he was really working hard to rebuild his life, and here he is. He's in this new land, and he's working hard trying to put his life back together, and his boss's wife comes to him one day, and you know the story, right? You know his boss's wife comes in, And I let me just say, she came on to Joseph, okay? Enough said. And Joseph goes, whoa, no. And she flips out, and she accused Joseph of attacking her. I mean, this is real Jerry Springer show type of stuff, right? How many of you watch Jerry Springer? Y'all are smart. I wouldn't raise my hand either. And I don't watch it. I don't watch it, but I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. I saw some of you going, but you think, I'm not doing that, but I'm glad you didn't. So here's Joseph, and he's unable to defend himself, and they take him and they chain him up and throw him in this rat-infested prison, just throw him in there and completely forget about him for years. Now, do you know what it's like to have your life just fall apart, and then you're working hard on getting it back together? And then all of a sudden it just explodes in your face. And this time, it's worse than it was before. Joseph knows. And if we didn't know the rest of the story, we would think that Joseph would be just messed up for life. That he's certainly the kind of guy that needs just endless hours of counseling and therapy to process all the pain. Yet the Bible teaches us the story's quite different than that. And all of it, Joseph was able to forward focus. Joseph, he was able to forward focus on a sovereign God who was at work in his life. And I don't want you to misunderstand when I say that. Joseph was devastated at times. Joseph was broken at times. He wasn't destroyed, but he was devastated. What was there real pain in Joseph's life? Was there real loneliness in Joseph's life? Was there real heartache in Joseph's life? Was there real despair in Joseph's life? You bet there was. You know there was. But Joseph found a better way to deal with this pain. And he focused forward. He would forget the injustice. He would forget what was done to him. He would forget his past. And he would trust in a wise and sovereign God. And he would move ahead in his life. Let me show you how Joseph said that. It's Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 8. Here's Joseph and his brothers are now in Egypt. A famine has driven them to Egypt. And they are standing before Joseph and they don't know it. They don't know that he's Joseph, and Joseph finally reveals himself to them and says, "I'm your brother, Joseph. I'm your brother, the one you sold into slavery. Wouldn't you like to have been there? It's me, Joseph." It would have been so much fun to be there. And Joseph looked into the eyes of these guys who had done so much to hurt him, so much to just destroy his life, and he said this, Genesis 45 and verse 8, "So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." He said, "Guys, you didn't do this. You just simply played into God's hands. That's all you did. You just played into God's hands." And to make sure there was no misunderstanding, Joseph repeated it. He said it to him once again. Just flip a page over or so and look at chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says again, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph said, "Forget it. It's gone. You played into God's hands. God did this thing." And I don't want you to leave here confused this morning. When Joseph forgot that, and when I speak to you this morning about forgetting, it's not that we get to the point where we are unable to remember what happened. That's not the goal that you're after. That's not what Joseph was talking about. Joseph didn't forget what they did to him. As a matter of fact, he says plainly, "What you did it for evil. God meant it for good." When Joseph forgets about the past, it's not that his memory is just wiped clean. It's just that Joseph is moving forward by forgiving. Joseph is going forward in his life by forgiving his brothers. Joseph is forgiving so that he could be forward focused. Did they sin against him? Absolutely they did. Was it evil? Absolutely it was. Did God use it for Joseph's good and for their good? Yes, God did. Yes, God did. And even the confirmation for all of this about Joseph finding healing and Joseph forgetting his past, you remember he named his first son Manasseh, and you remember what that means? The Lord made me forget. The Lord made me forget. So So it's important to deal with your past. You really need to deal with your past. God doesn't want you to go around and just pretend it didn't happen. He wants us to face our past, deal with our past, so that we can move forward and focus on the goal that's ahead. He wants us to move forward. And for most of us, the ability to do that comes through forgiveness. The answer comes through forgiveness. The key to forgetting the past and forward focusing is forgiveness. Forgiveness. I've been with you now 9 months, a little long, isn't it? I'm so sorry. But for the past 9 months, you know what we've talked about over and over and over and over and over and over again? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And do you know why we've talked about forgiveness over and over and over and over again? Because Jesus talked about it a lot. He talked about it often. You can never be, I can never be the kind of person that Christ wants me to be, the kind of person that Christ you want, that He wants you to be, unless you are a forgiving person. You can never experience all the wonderful blessings, all the things that God wants for you as a church, unless you are a forgiving church. If you are not a forgiving person, you are a hindrance rather than a help. As we learned a few weeks back, you cannot be a forgiven person unless you are a forgiving person. You cannot be a forgiven person unless you are a forgiving person. So, if you want to forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead, and I love the way Paul says it, it's a goal, it's a prize, it's a better way of living, then you must be a forgiving person. Again, it's so important, and Christ spoke about it so much once, and it was Mark chapter 11, I think. Jesus said, "Whenever you stand praying," and we are going to do that in just a moment. But Jesus said, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, what do? Forgive." Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive. That's as about as clear as it gets of a message from Christ. Amen? It's simple. It's easy to understand. If you are praying, if you are praying, if you come to church, if you listen to sermons, if you sing the songs, if you read the Word of God and you become aware that there is something between you and someone else, your only right option is to forgive. There's no other option for the Christian. It is to forgive. This was so important to Jesus again. Matthew chapter 5, he was talking about being at the altar. He was talking about bringing a gift to the altar. And he says, if you are at the altar, you know, ready to give your gift, ready to pray, if you were at the altar and you remember your brother has something against you, remember what he said? Leave the altar and go and get it right with your brother and then come back to the altar. You know what God's saying? God's saying, Don't talk to me. Don't come to me with that thing in your heart. Don't talk to me until you go talk to your brother. Don't approach me. Don't talk to me until you go talk to your sister. Don't bring all this stuff to me until you get it right with them. You go get right with them, and then you come to me. So, folks, the most important thing that we will do today is what we are about to do right now. And that is simply respond to God. And so I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me. As a pastor, preacher, and a friend, I just beg you to search your heart. Just allow God to speak to your heart, because what price are you paying for unforgiveness? What price are you paying for that? What are you paying? Because you will not forgive. It's destroying you. And I realize, because I may not be the smartest guy on the block, but I'm not the dumbest either. And I know that moments like this, it's very, very difficult. It's so very, very hard for us. But I know this. Whenever we make the move to do what God has told us to do, He provides us with the grace to do it. He always, always does. And so I beg you, I encourage you to do what you know to do is right this morning. Praise team, if you would, you come on. And I always want to be as compassionate as I can. And I want you to understand this morning that your relationship with God is the most important thing you have. And you cannot be right with God unless you're right with your brothers and sisters. You cannot be right with God if you have sin in your life. So what are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm saying that it could be some of you need to go to somebody. You may need to go to somebody. And you may need to say, would you forgive me? It's a wonderful thing if you do. Praise God for you being so courageous in doing that. For others of you this morning, you may just need to come and you get around the altar and you go, God, I need help forgetting my past. I need help. I understand that the preacher's saying it's not that my mind will be wiped clean, I'll never remember it. I need help forgetting my past so I won't live in my past any longer. I want to reach forward, Jesus. I want to go forward in my Christian life. Some of you, that's what you need to come do today. Some of you, you need to come to the altar, and I don't know what God has spoken about, and you may be on your way up to the altar, and God says, wait a minute. Go speak to him. Go speak to them. Do it. Just do what God says. Some of you, you're here today and you just simply need to seek forgiveness from God for something that's in your life and you haven't let go of it yet, and God's talking to you about it right now. You just need to come and seek forgiveness. However God has spoken to you, the most important thing is you respond to God. As they sing, you come.